Scripture reading for this evening will be coming from Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do." And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth.
Good evening. Good to see everybody out tonight, and I hope that you guys are as excited about kids singing as I am, for I am so grateful for these young ones that are willing to give their time and efforts to do this. And the bonus benefit of that is that y'all are learning a little bit too, and I know that because you've been telling me so I'd appreciate that. I decided a few weeks ago to try to do our Sunday night lessons in connection with what we're learning on our kids sing. And so, as you can tell, the night's lesson is from one of the things on the green card. But I want us to set this way. The book of Genesis lists a lot of firsts. And of course, we know the first of everything is in chapter 1, including the first two people. But then there's the first sin, which we've covered on our green card, the first sin in Genesis 3. Following that, we began to see some other firsts. And so we see the first sons. Now, their names are Cain and Abel. And it tells us a little about them, that Cain was a tiller of the ground and Abel was a keeper of sheep, and that they offered sacrifices to God, but only one was acceptable. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And when Cain was challenged by God with this statement, if you do that which is right, you'll be accepted, he went out and found his brother, and that leads us to the next verse, which is the first murder. For Cain wasn't determined to do that which was right in the sight of God, but rather, he was determined to get rid of that light that was shining on him, his brother, and his righteousness. So, it says that he rose up and slew his brother, the first murder. But then, in chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9, we have a record of the first time that it rained. And, of course, it rained so much, and not just rained from the sky, but it came from the depths of the seas also, that we had the first flood, and a man named Noah found grace in the eyes of God, while the rest of the world, it says, their hearts were only evil continually. But Noah built that ark as God commanded him, and it says then that he saved his family and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That leads us to the next thing. You know, I left out chapter 5 and chapter 10 because they just contain genealogies. They stick those in there from time to time. I wonder sometimes if he is trying to confound our reading by giving us those lists of all those names that are so hard to pronounce. But here we go with chapter 11 from our green card, the Tower of Babel. Now let's think about what the text says about this. Number one, it says they were all one language. And I'm thinking as I'm reading that, that only makes perfect sense. For I don't know in years how much time has gone by from Noah and his sons and their wives, and they got off the ark till he gets to chapter 11. But all the people that were alive on the face of the earth at the time of the Tower of Babel all descended directly from Noah and his wife and Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. So it makes perfect sense that they would all speak one language, right? Because they were just all part of one family. So there's the circumstance that arises, and because of that, it says they found a suitable place to settle, described as the land of Shinar. Later it would be known, I believe, as Babylon. And they decided to build there this tower. Let's build a tower to heaven. Now that seems like an ambitious target, if you're thinking about building it up into the sky, that's one thing. If you were thinking about building it beyond the end of our atmosphere, which they wouldn't have understood scientifically then, like we know now, but that'd be something altogether different. But where is God up in heaven? Where is that place? But it seems like that's what they were trying to approach. Now, here is a key to this incident. Let us make a name for ourselves. Because that's the intent here. And thus we have the second part of this, which is the confusion of their languages. You see, God looked down upon what they were doing, and He noticed that the people are all of one language. And now they started to build this tower, and because they have such an ability to communicate with one another, and they're determined to do this thing, He says there won't be anything that they can't do. This displeased God. And so He said, let us confound the language. What do you imagine that was like for them? If it happened as instantly as the things happened on day one, day two, day three of the first week, when God said, let there be, and there was, then if He said, let's confound their language, and He did, all of a sudden it would seem like, now they can understand each other. You ever hear somebody speak somewhere where they're speaking a language that you don't know? If we had somebody up here that started speaking to you, for instance, in Spanish. Now, I could a little bit, because I still remember some of the dialogue I had to memorize in the ninth grade all of those decades ago. And so therefore, like, I could ask you where the library is. ¿Dónde está la biblioteca? I could ask you that. And so somebody that knew Spanish would be able to answer that question for me, but I might not understand their answer. But imagine if somebody came in here. Oh, and by the way, I had to take some German in college, and you talk about wanting to throw up. Now that was just bad. And I don't remember nearly as much of that as I do the Espanol that I got in 9th and 10th grade in high school. But just imagine somebody came here to preach to us or to teach a class, and the only language they knew was their native tongue, wherever that's from. And we had an amusing little conversation out there a while ago about going to a Chinese restaurant and having to order off the menu instead of eating off the buffet, because the comment was made, I don't like to order off the menu because I don't know what I'm reading on there, what it is. That's what it would sound like to us if somebody from one of those languages from China. And by the way, you know, there's hundreds or thousands of dialects in China alone. But if one of those was up here preaching to us without an interpreter, what would it sound like to us? Gibberish. Babbling. Thus, that's the condition now that they have found themselves in. For all of a sudden, God has changed their languages from all being one to now every family, or however He divided it out, being different. And you can't work with somebody very well if you can't communicate with them. So there's the problem there. So that caused them to be scattered over the face of the earth. What's the point in staying here? We don't understand how to talk to them. So we went this way and they went that way, and pretty soon they began to fill the earth. Now, it's called Babel because the languages were confused there. And like I pointed out a minute ago, there are many that think this is the land that ultimately was known as Babylon in the days of King Nebuchadnezzar when they conquered Jerusalem, Judah. Now, so an interesting question arises out of this narrative. Why did God choose to confuse their languages? I mean, it helps if we understand things sometimes, right? If we think about them. So why would God possibly do that? I think one of the reasons was because they had exhibited pride in what they were doing and what they said. Remember what they said. Let's make a name for ourselves. Well, what's behind that sort of statement other than pride? You want to be somebody. You want everybody to know who you are. But that's not the way God operates. He's not interested in pride. Note what the Bible says in James chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 5. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. But these people weren't demonstrating humility. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's build this tower up to heaven. Let's accomplish something so we'll be known. Well, they are known. They're known for what happened in Genesis chapter 11, but not the way they wanted to be. In 1 John chapter 2, John exhorts Christians, love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. For if any love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Pride is not of God, and that put them in an awkward relationship with Him. But number two is this point. When they were doing what they were doing, let us settle here, let us build this tower, make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered across the face of the earth. Now that thought right there is contrary to what God's command has been at two different times prior to this moment in the history of the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, in the creation week, it says, let us make man in our image, male and female, they did. And one of the things that he said to them was, be fruitful and multiply and do what? Fill the earth. But these people are saying, lest we be scattered abroad and be all over the whole face of the earth. Well, then there was the flood in Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9. The flood, the ark, and all the people killed on the earth except for Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. And when they got off the ark, one of the things God said unto them was exactly the same thing that He had said to Adam and Eve in the garden. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But these people now, all of one language, are not wanting to fill the earth. They're wanting to fill that spot right there where they decided to build that tower. So they're not in compliance with God's commands. So between pride and their decision not to do that which God wants them to do, God has intervened now in their lives and confounded their languages and scattered them abroad so that this would begin to take place. So the ultimate thing is this. Only God knows what is best for man. Now, there are times, admittedly so, that we think we know what's best for us individually. But is it? But even if we do know some things that are best for us, we don't know everything looking into the future. And I'm thinking of a man who had a very close relationship to God in the first century of the church. And this man had given all to God. From the time of his encounter with Jesus Christ until the time that he died, he was willing to do everything for God. And he had a problem. He called it a thorn in the flesh. He asked God, not once, not twice, but three times, that God would remove that thorn in his flesh. But God did not do it. Now, it gives us a reason in that text about why he didn't do it. Lest I should be exalted above measure is the way Paul described it. But that's because God knew what was better for Paul than he did. A man so connected to Jesus and God through the Holy Spirit that inspired him, but yet he needed that lesson in his life. God knows what's best for us. Therefore, we should submit to what he wants us to do. Now think about these people in our example, the Tower of Babel. They were not submitted in mind to doing that which God wanted them to do. Instead, they wanted to do what they wanted to do. Let's build the tower into heaven. And we're all of one language. We can do this unless we be scattered abroad. And those are against what God would have them to do because God knows what's best. What's best for each of us begins with understanding and obeying the gospel. God sent His Son to die for us because He knows what's best for us. He gave us the instructions that we need in order to become and to live as His children because He knows what's best for us. And only when we're willing to submit to that is He going to allow us to enjoy the benefits of that. If we obey the gospel and then we accompany that with a life of faithful obedience until we die or He comes back, whichever happens to come, we're going to benefit from God's love and grace and mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ and have the salvation for our sins and a place with Him in heaven someday. And that is what is best for us. But the world doesn't believe that. And the world thinks what's best for them is to yield to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life and to do those things which they think are so much fun and makes them so cool in this life. You may be here this evening and you've never submitted yourself to the will of God in order to be a Christian. You've never put Jesus on in baptism so that you would be in Christ where all the spiritual blessings are. That you could have the benefit of His blood covering your sin so that when you stand before God, He doesn't see a sinner, He sees a redeemed person. Or maybe you've obeyed the gospel in the past, but there's something in this life that is dragging you away. It could be a relationship. It could be some worldly activity. It could be something that's very sinful, as a matter of fact. Or it could just be that you're giving your allegiance to something besides Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. If you have a need in your spiritual situation tonight, let us assist you. Let us help you in obedience to the gospel, or let us help you to get your life back on track to be right with God. And won't you do that right now? Won't you come right now to stand and sing a song of encouragement?